Archers for the week 8 to 13 August 1999.
Thank you.
You haven't read it?
No. Been dying to, though.
We thought you might already have bought plenty of books for your holiday.
I haven't bought one. I was hoping to get Alistair to stop at a service station.
Oh, good. And I'll borrow it back when you've finished.
If you can still read it through the sunscreen and the red wine stain.
Oh, Dad, you're not jealous, are you?
Oh, I am not. My camping days are long gone.
I keep telling you, it's not really camping at all. At least that's what Alistair keeps telling me.
And it'll be a lovely experience for Daniel. Right, last one, Shula. Happy birthday.
Oh, you really shouldn't have.
There are only little things. More coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. I've got to go and collect Daniel from Brookfield.
I'm surprised he didn't want to help you open your presents.
He did. But then he saw Pip in the garden and just had to show her his new shorts.
Oh.
You better watch him on this holiday.
I know. We'll probably have to sit up waiting for him to get back from the disco. Oh, a scented candle.
It's citrus. Very good for repelling mosquitoes.
Mum, you've thought of everything.
Well, I should hope so. She wouldn't be a mother otherwise.
Stop it, Phil. Now, tell me again, Shula. Where exactly are you hoping to see the eclipse?
Well, Alistair's got a couple of places in mind. One of the beaches, probably.
It's going to be extraordinary, isn't it? Jack Woolley was saying he remembers the one in 1927.
There was a partial eclipse when I was little. Mm. I can remember standing in someone's garden and looking at it through a photographic negative.
Dreadful. You didn't really know. It wasn't safe then.
Don't do that again this time.
Dad, I'm married to a man who's drawn up a chart for packing the car. He's hardly going to let me and Daniel risk our eyesight.
Good. Oh, Phil, quick, it might be Kenton.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, I tried him first thing, but it was the answer phone.
Yeah, so did we. I'll bring the phone out if it's him.
Right.
Another birthday. When I think back to this time last year.
Didn't have much to celebrate on your 40th, did you?
Hardly. But now... Oh, I really am so happy with Alistair, Mum.
I know.
Daniel loves him to bits. Mm. They've spent ages poring over maps and planning what we're going to do on this holiday. Sometimes I feel quite left out.
Oh, it was Ruth. Daniel's asking where you've got to, Shula.
Oh, yes, I'd better go. Well, thank you for all my lovely presents. We'll play the Edith Piaf on the way to get us in the mood. Bye, Mum.
Bye, darling. Tell Alistair to drive safely.
I will, and I'll try Kenton again before I go. Bye, Dad.
Bye, love. Have a wonderful time. Oh, Ruth says they've got something for you, too.
Oh, how lovely. I hope Alistair won't mind. All those extras are going to play havoc with his packing plan.
And then when he strode on those cross garters with a cloak made out of the old car seat covers.
Oh, what a character, isn't he, your Addie Grundy?
The mighty Thor, if you don't mind, Mum. One egg or two, David?
Oh, just one, please. Yeah, what did he call himself? Thor Nogson.
Poor Eddie. He never got his £25 and he's got his van window to replace.
That poor old fella I felt sorry for. He nearly got decapitated.
Mr. Pullen, yes. George only just got him out of the way in time.
I see it every time we visit. You can't beat Ambridge for entertainment.
It was a really grand day. The rafters and everything. And to make nearly £2,000 for the belt.
Yeah, Janet was really chuffed. Can you clear a space for your breakfast, David? I'm about to put it out.
All right.
I'll put these in the dishwasher for you, pet. Well,
thanks, Mum.
You and all, Solly, how are
you? Eh? Oh, right you are.
I'll start
thinking
about the lunch in a minute.
Oh, listen to her. It's not as if you've had to do the pigs this morning.
I don't suppose you're going to let me forget it. I used to be mad to take them on during harvest.
You've got Bert to help you a couple of hours a day.
I rest my case. Hmm. One full English. And yeah, I'm going to get you the ketchup.
Oh, thanks, love.
How were things at Hollertree anyway?
Oh, fine. There's a couple of sows will need moving to the farrowing crates by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on them. There.
Oh, thanks.
Don't mind me, I'm just going to wash the pots.
Eh? Oh. So that'll be another 20-odd piglets for us to sell on at 25 pence a kilo less than they cost to produce.
I know pig farmers have had a tough time. It's been terrible in the northeast.
Yeah. We were losing about £17 per pig at one point.
Well, I haven't noticed the price come down much in the supermarket.
No. It's funny that, isn't it?
Honey me.
Oh, hi, sis.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, Dad, we'll call you. Happy birthday, Shula.
Thank you.
Many happy returns.
Yeah, come and give us a kiss.
No. Oh, David, you're all eggy.
Sorry. It's this quaint little habit we have in England known as breakfast. Though, of course, where you're going, you'll only get a crust.
Oh, sounds great to me, much less washing up. If we ever get there. I hope Alistair's right and there will be less traffic going via Dover.
Open this anyway.
Oh, thank you. Oh, aromatherapy bath essence.
Yeah, it's to use when you come back to get rid of all the aches and pains from your cat bed.
Oh, aye. It'll be cold showers for you for a fortnight.
We did think of survival flares, you know, and those foil blankets.
Will you stop it? I'm going to have a very nice time.
Yeah. If you say it often enough, you might believe it.
Oh, tell him, Ruth. It's camping for softies, isn't it?
And she's getting a night in a chateau between the two campsites. Hint, hint.
You in a chateau? In your best overalls? With a bit of eau de grease gun behind your ears?
Oh.
Daniel was telling me Alistair's got quite a system for packing the car.
Oh, yes.
I thought everything was provided at the site.
Oh, it is in theory, but there's still all our clothes and Daniel's inflatable crocodile and buckets and spades and a box of groceries.
Groceries? You're going to the gastronomic capital of the world.
Well, there's Daniel's spaghetti hoops. Salt, pepper, matches, proper English tea bags, a corkscrew.
I can't believe a French campsite won't give you a corkscrew.
Nor me. But believe me, it wasn't worth arguing.
Well, I'm sure it'll all be worth it when you get there and see the eclipse.
Mm. Yeah, repeat after me, Shula. It'll all be worth it when I get there and see the eclipse.
Oh. Honestly.
Now what is it?
It's wretched oven.
Oh, it must have reheated by now. The tart's been in 10 minutes.
No, it's not that. The filling's all leaked out, look.
Oh, dear.
My lovely custard all over the bottom of the oven.
Well, I'll get a cloth.
No, I'll do it.
Now, you sit down. Don't you mopping up a hot oven while you're leaning on your stick. And don't try without it, either.
I can nearly manage without it.
Mm, well, I know you must be getting fed up.
I'm not half as fed up about my knee as I am about this kitchen.
Ruth and David seem to manage all right.
No wonder all she ever does is heat up pizzas.
Now, Jill.
No, I feel I've been really uncharitable about Ruth's cooking. No one could produce a decent meal in here.
What? Not even St. Delia?
Not even her.
There. That's got most of it.
Hope the base is corked. I think that was the problem. And Ruth only had a loose-bottom tin.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be delicious.
Hope so. It's Solly and Heather's farewell lunch.
Oh. Shall we try ringing Kenton again?
I just did. Had to leave another message.
Oh, well. Perhaps we should leave it till tomorrow. It's getting late there now.
Where can he be? Hope he and Mel are all right.
Four Noggs? I knew I'd heard that name somewhere before.
It's a character out of Nog in the Nog.
You what? You're showing your age.
It's a classic. Wonder if you can get it on video.
Well, the chicken looks okay. Stick a knife in those potatoes for me, David.
Yeah, sure.
I can't believe this is my daughter, you know.
What?
Keeping all the cooking under control.
Aye, that's right. You haven't ruined a single dinner since we've been here.
She's terrific, isn't she? The potatoes are done, by the way.
Could you drain them then and stick them in the serving dish in the bottom oven?
Right. You know I'm going to have to get back out to shifting those bales this afternoon, don't you?
Well, don't hang around for us, David. We don't expect you to wave us off, you know.
Me again.
Shula.
Haven't you gone yet?
Oh, we should have left half an hour ago. Daniel's muzzy's gone missing.
Oh, no, that's all you need.
It's that big muslin square he takes around with him.
Oh. He's standing over Alistair, making him unpack the boot. I'm sure he brought it up here this morning.
Oh, I don't remember seeing it. Could be in the garden.
Is it about kind of this big and a bit grubby?
Well, he won't let me wash it. It's got a special muzzy smell.
I don't think you're going to like this.
David?
I saw Josh dragging this, well, it's a filthy cloth round the yard. I thought it was a bit of rag.
Oh, so where is it?
In the incinerator.
Oh, David!
You didn't!
How was I to know?
Oh, I'm sorry we're late.
What's Shula's car doing in the yard?
Oh, it's all right, Mum. Just a bit of a hold-up.
David's chucked Daniel's muzzy in the incinerator.
Well, that wasn't quite how it happened.
Oh, no, not muzzy.
I'll put this tart down here, Jill.
Oh, would he accept a substitute?
Hasn't he got a favourite teddy or something?
No, it's got to be muzzy. I'll never get him off to sleep without it in a strange place.
It's no consolation now, Shula, but it might be for the best. Oh. What with him starting school and everything?
That's absolutely true, actually, Shula. You don't want him taking it to school. He'd look a right wuss.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I'll have to get back. Alistair was looking distinctly unamused.
Oh, darling.
I'm sorry.
Oh, never mind. As everyone keeps telling me, it'll all be worth it when we get there and see the eclipse.
That's the electric fence moved. Are you all right sitting in the Land Rover for a bit longer?
I'm fine. You carry on.
Well, I've just got to check the water.
At least Solly and Heather got off all right.
Yeah, and so did Shula and Alistair, in the end.
It was good of her to phone.
Oh, well, she knows what you're like for worrying.
It's not the best of starts, though.
Well, telling Daniel that no French four-year-old would be seen with a muzzy was a stroke of genius.
Let's hope it turns out to be true. Hasn't been a very good day all round, has it? Hmm? My tart was almost inedible.
Oh, rubbish. David had seconds.
Yes, well, David.
Yes.
I told you the bottom wasn't cooked.
Love, it was fine.
Kenton rang while we were out.
Yes, that was a pity.
Must have been about 2 in the morning their time.
Well, he did say on the message that he and Mel had been out celebrating. I'm just glad things are going as well as he says.
If they are. What do you think, Phil, about visiting them for the millennium, as he suggested?
Oh, I doubt we get a flight now. And it seems a bit unfair on the other children.
I suppose so.
Do you really want to go?
No, I have a much simpler idea for celebrating it. I want to be back at Brookfield.
Of course we will.
Will we? You know, Pip showed me where David had measured her on the wall.
We did that with ours, do you remember?
Mm.
The marks were there till we had the kitchen redone.
She's grown a centimetre and a half since they moved in. This house swap's been going on for over 2 months.
Is it as long as that?
Add to that the time we spent in Rityard Cottage over Easter. And I feel I've hardly spent any time at home this year.
I hadn't realised it was 2 months.
I've made up my mind. I'm going to throw away this stick for good this week. Once I'm properly mobile, there's no reason for us not to move back.
On Monday morning, Jack is admiring a work of art.
Old Aston Villa ground, with a tram in front of it. Oh, look, Peggy.
Oh, it's lovely, Jack. Oh, this lemon tree is as dry as a bone.
I am glad we started collecting these plates.
Have you had all your tablets this morning?
Oh, yes, yes. They're ever so well done. There's a sort of lustre to them.
Oh, well, that'll be the glaze. Unless it's your rose-coloured spectacles.
Eh?
Well, they wouldn't market a set of 12 collector's plates called Seasons of New Birmingham, would they?
Oh, I don't see why not. It's a very vibrant city, you know. It's the Barcelona of Britain.
Really?
We'll have to go over for the weekend. Stay in a nice hotel on Broad Street, do the shops, take in a show or two.
Jack, you're supposed to be taking things quietly.
Jean-Paul could recommend us some restaurants.
You're supposed to be slowing down.
But I feel fine.
I know you do. But that scare last week with your heart should have been a warning to you. Some people aren't lucky enough to get a rehearsal.
Oh.
Oh, look at Sammy here, asleep in the sun. He's got the right idea, haven't you, Sammy?
You're comparing me to Sammy?
Well, he's not a young cat. He's 16, you know.
Peggy, if you think I'm going to resign myself to a future of fishy snacks and washing myself in public, you can think again.
Sammy has a lovely life.
Besides, he's developed a very nasty dribble.
He can't help it. His gums aren't too good.
And he spends hours sitting 2 inches from the wall and staring at it.
Well, maybe he finds it restful. Who knows what goes on inside their little heads?
That's what I mean, Peggy. I don't think he's quite all there anymore.
He's old, Jack.
What are you saying? That I should be put out to grass?
Of course not. I just think you should be able to do what you want in life. If you'd rather spend your time at Grey Gables than with me, well...
You know that's not true. Now, is it?
No, I suppose not.
Ah. Now, I must go and get ready. Higgs will be here soon to take me down to the surgery for my checkup.
Are you coming straight back?
No. I've got one or two things to do first. Oh, but I'll tell you what. Why don't I treat you to lunch out?
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Good. Shall I meet you in the restaurant at, say, 1 o'clock?
You haven't told me which restaurant yet.
Well, Grey Gables, of course. Where else?
Oh, Sammy. What are we going to do with him?
He looks a likely one.
Let's have a look at you. Yep, he'll do. Can you open the gate, Dad?
Yeah, sure.
Go on. You're off on a nice little trip. Sadly, though, it's not a return ticket. That's it. Now, how many's that?
18, that'll do.
Good, I'm knackered. Notice I've been doing all the work.
Nothing to do with the late nights you've been having there.
No, no.
What time did you get in last night? Well, after I got to bed, I know that.
Well, that wouldn't be difficult. Most Sundays, you barely last beyond songs and praise.
You've been known to be in bed by 9:30 yourself during harvest. Sure you can cope?
Oh, and you're just thinking of me, of course.
Of course.
Nothing at all to do with the fact I was out with Simon last night.
No, why should it be?
Dad, the day I let you down on the farm, you can lecture me about my sleep pattern, OK? Until then...
Right. Have you got a minute?
What is it, darling?
Well, I hope I've done the right thing. But Alice was so bored...
You haven't sent her up to collect the money at the fishing lake by any chance?
Well, no, I have not. Don't be ridiculous. I've let her watch that video she was so keen on. It's a PG, you know the one. Do you think she'll be all right, Debbie?
Yeah, why not? It's harmless.
Well, I know she's young,
but what does she want to watch a video for when she could be doing something useful on the farm?
Brian, I'm not having a 10-year-old stuck out at the fishing lake on her own all day. The riding course, for that matter.
She wouldn't be on her own once the punters start arriving. Of course, if Kate hadn't decamped to Cornwall with this blasted eclipse, there wouldn't be a problem.
Oh, I hope she got there all right. That car those friends picked her up in looked pretty clapped out to me.
Mum, relax. Kate wouldn't let Phoebe travel in anything she wasn't happy about, would she?
I just wonder what they'll see when they get there. I mean, the southwest may offer the best prospects for sunshine. I mean, what if a sea mist rolls in?
I think it sounds amazing, whatever the weather. I hope you're prepared for everyone on the farm to down tools at 11 on Wednesday, Dad.
You're making it sound like Remembrance Sunday. We wanted the last post next.
Do you think I ought to lay on coffee for the men, Brian?
What?
Well, I just thought it'd be a nice gesture.
No, I don't want them wasting any more time. It'd be a great time to launch an attack, wouldn't it? With everyone in the country gawping at the sky.
Doesn't it stir you just a little bit, Dad? The awesome mystery of it all.
Call me a philistine, but I'm more interested in making the most of the weather and getting the end of the harvest.
Oh, I give up. You'd better have a word with Nostradamus about the timing of the next one. Make sure it's in November or something. I'm going to check the combine. The dew must have lifted by now.
Goodbye, darling.
Yep. See you, Mum.
The only mystery around here is what she sees in that oily Canadian creep.
Well, I don't think anyone Debbie went out with will be good enough for you. You must admit, so far, all your predictions have been proved wrong.
What predictions?
You said she wouldn't have a mind on the farm. In fact, she's perfectly in control.
Oh, that's why she's put the land marketing co-op on hold, is it?
That's only sensible. You heard what she said at breakfast. None of the others have got time to think about it till harvest's out of the way.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, it's early days with Debbie. We'll see how she is at the end of the month on only 5 hours sleep a night. It'll be a disaster, you mark my words.
The only disaster, darling, will be you if you don't get things in proportion. You're the one who can't cope with Simon being around, not Debbie. Anyway, I doubt it'll last that long.
How's the canon of French-Canadian literature that tiny? You don't think you'll see out his contract?
Oh, I just think it'll burn itself out. Things which start this intensely usually do.
Yeah, and which do-it-yourself guide to relationships did you read that in?
Mr. Aldridge. Could I have a word?
Oh, not now, Greg. I've got too much else to think about. I'll catch you later.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Greg. He's got rather a lot on his mind at the moment.
I'm sorry I'm late, love. You've had an aperitif, I hope.
Just a grapefruit juice.
Oh, good.
Well, what did Tim say?
I popped into the shop and Jill was there. She's desperate to get out of that bungalow and back to Brookfield.
Yes, she rang just before I came out. She wants to get rid of her stick by the end of the week, too.
She was asking if we were going to the bell ringing picnic next Thursday. Now, what have we got on the menu today?
That's why she rang. She and Phil have asked us to join them.
Oh, I think it sounds a lovely idea. Bring a picnic and enjoy a summer's evening in the church grounds whilst being entertained by the Ambridge ringers. Should raise another couple of hundred for the bell's appeal, anyway.
Never mind that, Jack. What did the doctor say about your heart?
Oh, rump of lamb with red onion jam and mustard mash. Oh, delicious.
Jack, what did he say?
All right, I'll tell you.
Tell me what? You've got me worried now.
It's nothing new, love. You were right, that's all. He's told me again to take things easier and reduce my stress levels.
There you are, then. What more proof do you need? If you won't listen to me, please listen to Tim.
But I have been listening to you, Peggy. I was thinking about it all last week.
Were you?
I told you there were one or two things I had to do this morning.
Yes?
Well, I wanted to go to the shop to confirm what I already knew. It runs fine without me. And I wanted to go to the Echo for the same reason.
You've been into Borchester?
And up here, well, the evidence is all around us. I was ever so worried about the staff who'd booked this week off for the eclipse, but Caroline's got it all covered. She's an excellent manager.
Of course she is. You're lucky to have her.
Yes, I am. So, there it is, Peggy. I'm not needed. I can retire properly.
Oh, Jack.
And I will. Was that what you wanted to hear?
Oh, yes.
So what are you crying for, you silly thing?
And you better sheet those bales just in case, Andy. It's not worth the risk. Have to go. Cheers.
Is this a better time, or shall I prepare to get my head bitten off again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a lot on.
I know that, Mr. Aldridge. And I realise it's probably not the right time to ask, but I really need to know where I stand over this business of the Grey Gables shoot.
You know what's happening, Greg. You're filling in there till Jack takes on another keeper.
And who's he got in mind now?
Well, the last I heard of it, he was talking about... Was it Jim someone? Works the other side of Churcham.
Not Jim Goodridge. Who works for that Arab chappie who's got the shoot in the stud farm.
Goodridge, that's the one.
Mr. Woolley reckons he might be interested in Grey Gables. Do me a favour.
But you don't think so?
It's too late in the season, anyway. No self-respecting keeper would leave his birds now, especially not Jim Goodridge.
Oh, right.
It'd be like asking Father Christmas to take a holiday in December.
Well, that's good news for us, isn't it?
It's not good news for me when I'm working 16 hours a day managing two shoots just as a favour to someone. It can't go on.
Greg, I think you're forgetting the master plan here, which is for you to run the two shoots.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind doing it. I want to do it. But I want the position ratified, made formal, call it what you like. I want to know the job's mine.
Look, we're playing a waiting game here. Jack hasn't succeeded in finding anyone, and according to you, he's not going to now. So all we have to do is wait for him to come to his senses.
One of these days, I'm going to come to my senses and ask myself what's in it for me. Getting up at 5 in the morning and working till gone 10.
For heaven's sake, stop whinging, Greg. Got William to help you, and you're George's blue-eyed boy these days.
Well, George retires for good at the end of the month. And William's a great lad, but he needs training. It all takes time.
Yes, I realise that, but...
Can't you just nudge Mr. Woolley in the right direction?
I don't know, Greg. I don't want to push it. If Jack's going to sign over his beloved shoot, it's important that he thinks it was his idea.
That's another.
Look, I hear what you're saying. Well, I'm very busy, but I promise you I'll find the time to slip up and see Jack.
Thank you.
But even if I can't move him on, at least I can do is find out where he's got to with this Goodridge fella.
I would appreciate it, Mr. Aldridge.
Brian, I just had Mum on the phone. Oh, hello again, Greg.
Afternoon.
Actually, she sounded quite tiddly. Hmm? Jack had cracked open a bottle of champagne to celebrate.
His pacemaker passed his MOT, didn't it?
Yes, he saw the doctor this morning, and Tim gave him another talking to and told him to take things more quietly. And, well, the upshot is Jack's agreed to retire properly. He's going to pull out of Grey Gables.
Oh, really? When?
Soon as possible, Mum said. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, that's marvellous news.
Isn't it? Oh, Mum's so thrilled. I must go and ring Lillian. I'll bring you out some tea in a minute.
Well, that's a bit of good timing.
What, you don't think you'll want to bother with the shoot now?
Well, would you? If you were on the cusp of a life of Crown Green Bowls and Caribbean cruises...
Well...
Greg, believe me, Jack has played right into our hands with this one. The Grey Gables shoot's going to drop into our laps.
Just let me sort your collar out.
Mum, please, just give it a rest.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Usha.
Hi.
All ready, Tom?
Yeah, I think so.
Wish I was.
Honestly, Pat, it's a quick in and out. A date for the Crown Court and it'll all be over.
Yes, I know.
There was one thing I wanted to ask you.
Yes?
It's about my bail conditions. Will there be any chance to say something about them?
It's this business of him having to report to the police station every day. It really is a bind.
Yes, I can see it must be, especially when you're busy on the farm.
What do you reckon?
Well, to be honest, I never thought it was a necessary condition in the first place. The risk with you was that the offence might be repeated. Reporting to the police station is more to do with absconding.
But he'd never do that. Mm.
So there might be something I can do for you.
That'd be brilliant. I don't suppose you could get them to drop any of the other conditions.
Well, they're not going to waive the surety, and living at a fixed address isn't a problem, surely.
No, it's the one about who I can see.
Ah, association.
He can't even play cricket because David's in the team.
I'm sorry, Tom, I don't think you stand a chance on that one. You know, the whole point is to keep you away from either witnesses or other activists.
Oh, well, worth a try, I suppose.
Look, I don't mind having a word with the CPS prosecutor before we go in. I'll see what we can sort out. It's Melissa Parker. I can't see that she could raise any valid objections.
That'd be something, wouldn't it, Tommy?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I must get into court. I've got another client to represent before you.
Oh, yeah, don't let us hold you up.
Look, I'm sorry I can't wait with you, but you can either hang around out here and wait to be called, or, well, if you like, you could come into court and sit at the back, watch the other cases.
Oh, I suppose we could.
Goodness, it's bright out here.
Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it? I'm just taking a break from the payroll.
I should have brought my sunglasses. I've got a bit of a headache, actually.
Oh, dear. Would you like me to get you something?
No. It's my own fault for letting Jack ply me with champagne yesterday.
Well, you did have something to celebrate.
I think the second little lecture from Tim helped. Mm. According to Jack, he'd already given it a lot of thought.
I didn't see any signs of it last week.
Well, this week he seems to have made up his mind. He's already made a start on clearing his desk.
Has he?
So when I left, he was poring over an envelope full of photographs of Captain.
Oh. Well, there will be a lot of memories.
But he really seems to want to do it.
I'm sure it'll be the best thing all round, as long as he's happy about it.
Oh, he is. There's only one problem.
Yeah?
Jennifer rang me this morning. It's about the shoot.
Jennifer rang?
It's Brian. Apparently he was boasting at breakfast. He's going to confront Jack about his plans for it.
And what are Mr. Woolley's plans?
Well, that's just it. He hasn't got any. Since that dreadful Carl Swift, everyone he's approached about the job has turned him down. Either they didn't want to move, or it wasn't the right time in the season.
Oh, but if Brian comes up here now and agitates about it, Mr. Woolley might feel he has to hang on until it's sorted out.
Exactly. Anyway, Jennifer had already tried to put Brian off, and I told her in no uncertain terms that she must have another go.
Oh, good for you.
Jack's already had problems with his heart. We've only just got him to agree to retire. He doesn't need any more worries.
I agree. It's just, I don't know that anyone has that much influence over Brian.
I know he usually does exactly what he wants, but this time he's got to be stopped.
Your name is Thomas Archer?
Yes.
Date of birth, 25th of the 2nd, 1981?
Yes.
The charge against you is that on the night of Thursday, May the 13th, 1999, you, with persons unknown, caused criminal damage to a crop of oilseed rape belonging to Beale Tech, being grown at Home Farm, Ambridge, Borsetshire. Mrs. Parker, has all the evidence in form of written statements been copied and given to the defendant?
Yes, sir.
Miss Gupta, does the defendant object to any statement or wish to submit that there is insufficient evidence against him?
No, sir.
Thomas Archer, you are committed to stand your trial at Felpersham Crown Court. You must appear there 6 weeks from now on the 21st of September for a plea and directions hearing.
That is a convenient date.
Now, I note that this defendant is on bail and that there are certain conditions attached. Mrs. Parker, do you have anything to say on that matter?
There is an application relating to one of the conditions which the prosecution would accept.
Miss Gupta, do you have an application?
Yes, sir. My application is that a reporting condition is not necessary. There will clearly be a long delay before trial, and it's already causing problems for the defendant. He's employed in agriculture, sir. Any objection to bail was the risk of further offences being committed, hence the various conditions attached. But I do submit that this particular condition is not necessary to meet that risk. It's never been suggested that he'd abscond.
Very well. If you're in agreement, Mrs. Parker?
Yes, sir.
We accept that the reporting condition of the defendant's bail be lifted. He will, of course, still need to observe the other conditions of bail, namely not to associate with witnesses nor anyone who might be involved in similar activities. He must live at a fixed address and the bail terms set at £1,000 remain.
Thank you, sir.
The defendant may stand down.
So, this is it. The invoice for the swimming pool which Nigel sold you in 1984 and a rusty paperclip.
It's ever so difficult, Caroline. I'd hate to throw away something you might need.
Mr. Woolley, I really don't think I'm going to need the menus for the Association of Foresters dinner dance going back to 1966.
Oh, but it's a very useful reference. We wouldn't want to serve them, I don't know, venison 2 years running.
Well, fine, keep last year's if you must. 2 years even. But it's all on the computer anyway.
Oh, I don't seem to be making much progress.
How about a tray of tea?
They said to come on through.
Who did?
Brian, come along in. Oh, sorry about the mess.
Good gracious, Jack. There's a few rainforests worth here.
Terrible, isn't it?
Mr. Wood is rather busy at the moment, as you can see.
Oh, it's nothing that can't wait. I'm trying to have a clear out, Brian, but it's taken me ages. I have to read everything to decide if it's worth keeping.
Well, I rather hoped you might be able to spare me a few minutes.
Don't forget you've got a board meeting at the Echo today, Mr. Willie.
That's not till this afternoon.
And we were in the middle of our chat.
Oh, we can finish that any time. Look, have a seat, Brian.
Ah, thank you very much.
Now, Caroline, did you say something about a tray of tea? I bet Brian would like a cup.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say no. I've been in the grain store all morning. It's jolly dusty in there.
Tea.
Or coffee, if you prefer, Brian.
No, tea will be fine. Caroline knows the sort I like, don't you, Caroline?
I'm sure someone in the kitchen will remember.
And a few of Jean-Paul's special biscuits.
I'll see what I can do. I shan't be long.
Thank you. Ah, now, Brian, what can I do for you?
Well, first let me say, Jack, I'm jolly sorry to hear you're retiring. From a purely selfish business point of view, that is.
Oh, well, thank you.
It seems to me we've always had an excellent working relationship, and, well, I'll be sorry to see you go. But my loss is Peggy's gain, I suppose.
Let's hope she thinks so.
I know she does. And I'm sure for the sake of your health, you're doing the right thing.
Dr. Hathaway did rather lay it on the line.
Though there is one piece of unfinished business which we ought to tie up. The shoot.
The shoot?
Yes, I'm sorry to bring it up again. But to put it bluntly, Greg's not a very happy chap. He's having to spend a lot of time over here and... Well, quite frankly, the nearer we get to the shooting season, the more I need him at Home Farm. I just wondered if you'd had any luck finding anyone else.
There is one fellow, Jim Goodrich.
Well, works the other side of Churchham, I know, for the Arab guy.
That's right. A very talented young keeper, apparently.
I see. Well, that's great. Because if you appoint him, then I can pull Greg out and he can concentrate on his real job at Home Farm.
I haven't approached Jim yet, of course, but I have heard he'd be very keen to come to Grey Gables.
Excellent. Well, I can see I've been worrying about nothing. I might have known you'd have it all in hand, Jack.
Yes.
So I can tell Greg not to fret. For the bit of partridge shooting we do, and certainly by the time the pheasant season starts, he'll be back on his home patch.
That's the plan, yes.
I hear you've ordered some tea. Good morning, Brian.
Hello, Peggy. Oh, come on, let me take that for you.
I can manage, thank you. Goodness, Jack, is this your idea of a clear out?
It's all got a bit out of hand, I'm afraid.
Look, I shouldn't hold you up anymore. It's been a really useful chat, Jack, but I ought to be getting back. And, well, perhaps Peggy could have my tea.
Oh, well, if you're sure.
I can't leave all the work to Debbie, I'm afraid. Bye-bye, Peggy.
Bye. Oh, honestly, barging in here like that.
Hey.
Caroline told me, and after I'd expressly asked... Oh, well, it's too late now.
Yes, I think it is. He's talking about stopping Greg from working at Grey Gables, Peggy. If he does, we'll be right up a gum tree.
But I thought you were going to try that other young keeper from Churchham.
Yes, I am. But I don't even know if he's interested.
Well, you won't know till you ask him. Tea?
Oh, thank goodness that's over. I've completely shredded a whole packet of tissues.
Oh, Mum.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
No, it was just like you said it would be. I suppose I just had this ridiculous fear that, oh, I don't know, some new evidence had come to light or something. Tommy'd be led away to those cells again.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I've seen it happen once. That was enough.
I don't want to repeat it myself either.
At least we got your reporting condition lifted.
Oh, yes, thanks for that, Usha.
Yeah, that's great. When we sat in beforehand and the magistrate wouldn't renew that other poor guy's bail, it made me realise how lucky I am to be on bail at all.
That was awful, wasn't it?
Well, he should stop threatening his neighbour then. I did warn him.
I don't think I could do your job, Usha. I know I couldn't.
No midlife career change for you, then.
Yeah. I'll stick to my yoghurt, thanks.
And very good it is, too. Well, I must get back to the office.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad we've got you to steer us through all this.
Well, I'm enjoying it. Makes a change from the usual injunctions and domestic violence.
I'm glad someone's happy.
I'll see you next week, Tom, to go through the expert witness statements again.
OK, thanks.
Yeah, thanks again, Usha. Bye.
Bye.
Right. Well, I suppose we'd better get back. Tell your dad all about it.
I guess so.
I'll just nip to the loo. I won't be a moment.
OK, I'll wait for you outside. Come on. Come on. Kirsty, it's me. Hi, I can't talk for long. I'm outside the court.
Yeah, it was cool. But listen, they've lifted the reporting condition, but it was no way on the other thing. Yeah, I know, but I did hope. Anyway, we still can't meet in public. Not today. I've got to make up time for my dad. The eclipse? No, not especially. Oh, that'd be great. I can't wait to see you. Yeah, me too. Okay, just let me think about where.
On this end, Betty.
Oh, I made a space inside the stockroom door by the fire extinguisher.
Right you are.
Thanks, love.
It's a good job Mike was here. That van driver couldn't wait to get away.
I think he wanted to finish his deliveries before the eclipse starts.
Just before 10, isn't it? First contact, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Neil's coming down. We wanted to see it together.
Well, should be quite something. Oh, this fruit cocktail's on special, Susan. 19 pence a tin.
Oh, OK. Betty, is it all right if I move that poster for the bell-ringing picnic over a bit? Then I can put up this other one for the line dancing.
Oh, that's starting up again, is it?
Yeah, first week of September. Emma and Fallon can't wait.
I've had a bit of a sort-out in there for you, love. You've got dog food in two separate places.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, never mind.
Hey?
Nothing. Mike, you don't know any gamekeepers who are looking for work, do you?
Oh, is this a trick question?
No, I have Mr. Woolley in first thing. He's still desperate to find a head keeper to replace George.
Oh, that frightened the life out of me.
Morning, all.
Oh, will you not do that, Sid? You nearly gave me a seizure.
Ah, sorry, Susan. I'm glad to see you're advertising the line dancing, though.
Oh, me and Betty will be there again. It was a good laugh.
Yeah.
Great stuff, and I hope I can count on your custom later this morning as well.
You haven't really put up a pinhole camera on the green, have you, Sid? I thought you was joking.
I never joke about something as serious as pub business, which is why I'm here. I'm after some mustard, Betty. English, please.
On the left, Sid, halfway down.
Ah, ta very much. Yeah, we got vats of the French stuff without any English.
Well, this will be for your barbecue at lunchtime, yeah?
That's right. And I'm selling viewers for people who haven't already got them. Don't want anyone cooking their eyeballs.
Well, it's pity the weather's not as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's a shame it's a bit cloudy. Mind you, it makes me glad I didn't head off to France or somewhere to see it.
It's probably even nicer in France. I bet Shula and Alistair will have a really good view.
Anyway, what do I owe you? I want to get back before the fun starts.
Right, 8 jars at 65 pence. That'll be £5.20, please.
You don't know any gamekeepers, do you, Sid?
Well, there's George Barford, Greg.
No. Ones we don't know that come into the pub or something, or moonlight as draymen.
Oh, don't think so. £5.20, Betty.
Only Mr. Woolley's made us promise to ask around. As if we get gamekeepers coming in all the time.
Well, you wouldn't think replacing old George would be so difficult, would you? But then we are talking about a desperate man.
Oh, there's something tickling the back of my neck.
Hmm?
Is it an ant? Oh, have a look, Tom.
Why me?
Because it was your idea to lie down in the long grass in the first place.
I didn't hear you complaining. It's not an ant, it's a ladybird.
Ah, well, now I know I'm on an organic farm. You can leave it, then.
I was going to.
What's the time?
10:30. I could stay here all day.
I know. We mustn't miss the eclipse proper, though. Even though it is a bit cloudy.
We wait.
I shouldn't be too sure. Are we safe here?
Of course. Got our viewers. We're not going to look straight at the sun.
I didn't mean that, you brat. I couldn't believe it when you suggested meeting at Bridge Farm.
Well, it's a pretty remote bit of it.
Oh, don't your parents ever come up here?
Mum's in the dairy and Dad's earthing up the leeks this morning. Anyway, no, they don't come up here much.
Why not? Looks a perfectly good field to me.
It's the field where John died.
Oh.
Down the bottom end, where it slopes.
Oh, Tom.
I don't know why, but just felt like the right place to see the eclipse. I mean, it's not like I think he's up there or anything. But he's got to be out there somewhere, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course. Oh, come here. Oh, hey, you know, you haven't really told me about yesterday.
Cord? I did. It was cool.
Really?
He asked me these really difficult questions, like my name and my date of birth.
What? And you got them right? You didn't even have multiple choice.
The hardest part was persuading my mum I didn't need to wear a tie.
Well, at least she was there for you. Can't see my mum and dad backing me up like that.
They're still freaked out about what everyone at the golf club's going to think.
Oh, I had another lecture last night about my irresponsible behaviour.
I wish I could come to court with you.
Oh, don't be silly, I'll be fine. I got you into all this, remember?
Oh, yeah, so you did. Shall I tell Lucia that's my mitigation? Led astray by an experienced older woman.
Hey, I'm only a couple of months older than you are.
Yeah, but you've packed a lot in.
Mm. Mm. So we'd best stop this. I don't want to miss the big event.
Well, how was your big event?
Oh, well, you don't only turn up once every 80-odd years. I hope. Now, pass me my viewer.
Wow. That's incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes, you have, Neil.
Huh?
You told me there was a partial eclipse when you were about four.
Yeah, exactly, four. I can't really remember it. This is spectacular. Isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, I know there's been all this fuss about totality, but if this is 96%, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, there's all this business about Bailey's Beads, though, and the diamond ring effect that you get when it's a total eclipse. Kate was going on about it.
Yeah, and all the other well-known effects. The roads being clogged with traffic and the hospital casualty departments being on red alert for idiots who look straight at the sun.
Yeah, I'd rather be in Ambridge any day of the week.
Ooh, getting a crick in me neck here.
Why don't you go and look at Sid's famous pinhole camera for a bit?
He never misses a trick, does he? Still, he's pulled in quite a crowd.
Oh, it's nice of Mr. Woolley to let me shut the shop.
Yeah, do you want my fleece, Betty?
Well, I wouldn't say no.
By the way, Neil, about time we had the final reckoning on the pick your own.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we can divvy up the profits.
Oh, well, there are some, are there?
Oh, blimey, in your misery, Susan. How'd you put up with him?
I hardly see him. What with the milking at Bridge Farm and the harvest and practising for the bell ringing next week and the cricket.
Yeah, don't forget it's nets tonight, love.
Oh, great.
Why don't we meet up for a drink afterwards? We could come down here.
Well...
Come on, Neil, we haven't been out for ages.
Yeah, nine will suit you. Well, nets will be over by then, surely.
It's been great.
Yeah, you must do it again sometime.
As soon as I can arrange another eclipse.
The eclipse was fantastic, but it still wasn't the best bit.
No. I'll call you.
Tommy?
Oh, great.
I've got to go anyway. See ya.
Haven't you finished hoeing those cabbages yet?
Bye. Hi, Neil. Well,
it doesn't look like you've even started.
No. Well, I was watching the eclipse, weren't you?
Yeah, your dad said I could go after milking. Incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, cool.
Who was that?
What?
That girl.
Hmm? Oh, just a friend. She just happened to be passing.
Oh. Well, I better get on.
I suppose I'll have to work late to make up the time. Still, since I can't go to Nets.
Yeah, we miss you.
By the time all this court stuff's over, the cricket season will be too.
Yeah, it's tough. Though your dad said you haven't got a report to the police station anymore.
No, that was really doing my head in.
I can't help admiring you, you know.
You what?
Well, whatever the rights and wrongs of GMOs, you've had the courage of your convictions and you've acted on them.
There's lots of people out there who feel just as strongly as I do and who've done a lot more about it.
It must be scary, though. How was court yesterday?
Oh, it was weird, actually. I didn't think I was going to be bothered by it. Usha kept going on about how it was only a formality, but when I got in there, my heart was pounding.
Yeah, I know what they're like, those places.
I suppose it was just... Well, it was the first time I'd been back there for weeks.
You just feel so... small, don't you?
Yeah. And they read out the charge and everything, and I felt... well, like a criminal, really. Not like me at all.
Well, she could go to university, of course. The teachers reckon she'll get the grades, but no, no, she wants to get stuck in straight away.
Anyway, she's had the two interviews at the Echo and at Radio Borsetshire, and depending on her A-level results, she's been offered jobs by both of them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Good for Brenda.
And now Mike's got in with that Wayne Foley, you know, the reporter from the radio. They've said she can do a couple of weeks' work experience there next week.
Mm. Perhaps that's where Mr. Woolley ought to be advertising for a keeper.
Yeah. Hey, you ought to ring into the agony slot on a Friday night. Is there anyone out there? I'm looking for the right man, but I can't seem to find him.
Oh, don't be rotten.
We could put Julia Pargeter on, too. She's still looking for someone who can do smocking.
Oh, dear. Well, I...
Suppose I'll get us all another drink. Thought that husband of yours would be here by now, Susan.
I don't know what's keeping him. Oh, look, Mike, let me get him. You've got the first round.
Oh, well,
Sorry, I'm late.
What do you mean?
I am shattered.
Has he been making you run round, has he?
Just because we lost to Underwoods on Sunday, he'd arranged us an evening of targeted skill reinforcement.
What?
We're playing Netherbourne next Sunday, right? And they're supposed to have a couple of really big hitters. So he had us all out on the boundary, running for catches, dropping out of the sky.
This is getting ridiculous. What with that and nagging you about the wicket?
Watch out, here he comes.
Evening.
Hello, Sid.
Hi.
Has Neil been telling you all about our practice?
Ball by ball.
Yeah, I'm sorry I kept him, but it'll all be worth it come Sunday. And I think this Steve Harris is going to be a real find.
His wife been into the shop. They've just moved into Glebeland's.
That's right. Anyway, me and David reckon he's a dead cert for the team, so we put him in for the game against Netherbourne.
Oh, great.
So, as Alice has arranged his own replacement for the three Sundays that he's away, we're in pretty good shape, especially for harvest time. Now, of course, pitch preparation's the key, which reminds me, Neil.
Sid, what? Would you mind letting us have a quiet drink? Come out to enjoy ourselves.
It is only cricket, after all.
Only cricket?
Sid, I think Cathy could do with a hand. The barrel needs changing.
Oh, right. Right, I'll catch you later, Neil.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly?
Well, now you're here, Neil, let's get down to business. All in all, it wasn't a bad year.
Oh, good.
Luckily, the weather picked up just in time, so there's the final figures. Roy printed them out nice for us.
Not bad.
And you must admit, my publicity worked a treat. There's no doubt Ailey pulled in a good few punters.
Well, it's a good job something's going right. Are you gone this afternoon, Susan, when John Higgs came in?
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
Well, the word at Grey Gables is Mr. Woolley's going to retire.
Retire? But what about the shop?
Yeah, and what about the Echo? And our Brenda's job? Well, why didn't you say something before?
Well, didn't want to, not till Neil got here.
Huh?
Well, the fact is, we could all be affected.
Nearly out of peanut butter.
Circular.
Oh, no.
Electric bill.
Can you get some more?
How much? And it's a red one.
Is there any other sort?
I never saw the first one.
Natalie is looking a bit off this morning. I had a quick look at her after milking.
No surprise to me.
Yeah, I've been wondering about you.
Hey, Dave, who sent the electric bill? And don't say behind the clock, because I just looked. They sent a red one now. Look how much it is. And we've only got 7 days to pay.
Oh, I'm sorry, love. I must have chucked it in a drawer somewhere.
Oh, what good's that? We'll have to pay at the shop later.
Can you get some peanut butter while you're there?
The milk check's at the bank, innit?
That'll be half of it gone.
Might as well use the shop whilst we got it. Greg says it can close when Mr. Woolley retires.
Here is a point. What about the Echo,
The shop ain't closing. Pat says Mr. Woolley just wants to stop working at Grey Gables. There you are, Adam.
So, love, you'll be okay, though, won't you, son?
Greg says we've got nothing to worry about.
I hope not.
Wouldn't hurt a bit if he'd give up the Echo. It's all full of news of his blasted step family. Here. GMO feud boy in court it is this week, see?
Anything in there about the fight?
What? Oh, see, yeah. Ah, here we are, look. Yeah. There's a picture of your Ethel Fleed's maidens, Clary, getting the prize for best bolt.
Oh, give it here.
Here.
Hey. Oh, typical. Got me always closed.
It doesn't say anything about my public humiliation, then.
Oh, stop going on.
Well, it's all right for you. You haven't had Jolene moaning at you for ironing the ringlets out of her wig.
Serves you right.
Man, you didn't lose out on a 25 quid fee, and you haven't got a van window to replace.
Yeah, what do you reckon is the trouble with Natalie?
Oh, I don't know. She just seems a bit dim. Must be catching.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll go and take another look at her.
Yeah, it's time you went as well, William. You must have stiffed everything in the larder in that rucksack by now.
Mum, don't forget my peanut...
Peanut butter, I know. Here, would you want me to say to Mrs. Snell if she corners me again about your massage?
Oh, blimey.
I'll have it if you don't want it.
You will not.
Just tell her I'm too busy.
Here, Eddie, remind me when I get back to full net for him in Falversham about the winter feed. They should have delivered it by now.
Do this, do that.
See ya.
Oh, and William, don't forget, family outing tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Bale loading.
Good grief, that's enough water to sink the Titanic.
You know what these American companies are like. Water, orange juice and non-stop decaf.
This isn't the computer company with the creepy sales manager who tried to chat you up last year.
Certainly is. Somehow, I don't think he'll be quite so tempted this time round.
Just let him try it. I'll disable his data once and for all.
Think you'll find Eenie and Meanie might do that for you.
How are they this morning?
Active. Arms and legs all over the place.
You need to get plenty of rest, Lizzie.
There's too much to do. We said we'd go over the specifics of the residential block this morning.
I've read the document you and Lewis prepared. The, cost breakdown and capital outlay.
And?
Well, it's as we suspected, isn't it? Assuming we get planning permission.
Well, Lewis doesn't seem to think that'll be a problem.
No, but in order to finance a six-figure building project, we'd have no option but to sell off, I should think, all 11 cottages. And one of the farms.
I know it means breaking up the estate, Nigel, and I know it's not what you want to do.
I'll do it, if it's the only way forward, but I think we've got to look really hard at the sort of business we want to run.
Meaning?
Well, if we build a residential block and have delegates staying overnight, we're going to need a heck of a lot more staff. Housekeeper, chambermaids and so on. But they wouldn't be on duty 24 hours a day, we would.
Yes, you're right. I was worrying more about how the residential block would fit in with the gallery.
Oh, they're two completely separate projects.
Well, that's what I mean. There's absolutely no overlap, no common interest.
Oh, dear. Lord, last week I thought we decided.
It's never quite that simple, is it?
Is it safe to come in?
Oh, hi, Debbie.
I had to run the gamut of all these guys in suits in the hall. There aren't any lurking in here, are there?
You're quite safe. There's only me.
I think I can cope with you, Nigel.
You're up and about early.
I'm on my way home, actually. I stayed over at Simon's.
Ah. It's all going well, then.
Seems to be.
Shall I leave you girls to it?
No. I need to talk to you about this afternoon. There's seven of your delegates booked in for the riding course, and how many for the fishing lake?
I'll go and check.
All right.
So, tell all.
Well, I'm very happy.
Good.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same for Dad.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah, I hate upsetting him. He's so unreasonable where Simon's concerned.
Yeah, there are 14 who want to have a go at fishing.
14, right.
Oh, look, this is hopeless. I want to hear all your gossip. How about supper one evening?
Yes, come tonight.
The trouble is I'll be cutting the wheat till late. I know, why don't you come to me?
Yeah, sure, if that suits you better.
Yep, not supper, I'm afraid, but come over for a swim. Wait for me to finish.
What a lovely idea.
Yeah, Mum and Dad are out at some CLA do, so we'll have the place to ourselves.
So he rings the company and he says they can't supply the fee, but they don't give no reason. What do you make of that, Eddie?
Search me.
We're blacklisted for credit, that's what it is.
You reckon?
Yeah. Just because we slipped up a couple of times being Borchester Mills, they've passed our details on to every feed merchant in the county.
Go for the course, ain't it?
Well, is that all you can say?
What do you want me to say? Look, I've decided I'm going to stop expecting things to go right in life. I'll tell you what, Dad, it won't half save me a lot of disappointment.
Oh. Natalie's still not looking so good.
Oh, no.
Cell count's still high.
Keep going.
I'm trying to keep the parlour clean, but I... Oh, I don't know. It worries me, Eddie.
Oh, it worries me, too. We can't afford to get the vet in.
Mind you, there was that nice little heifer calf born dinner time.
Yeah. And I suppose we had reasonable weather for the contractor to cut our bit of barley.
Not that it's really worth harvesting by the time we paid the block.
I'm still getting work with me baler. When the money for that starts rolling in, we can buy some dairy cake for cash.
Maybe. But then there'll be another huge electric bill. And the rent's due again the end of September.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dad. And there I was, trying to cheer myself up a bit.
Here, don't wave that axe at me. I was only saying... No, Eddie, no, put that thing down. Blimey. Bullseye. Well done, lad.
That was perfect. Just the thing after a hard day at the keyboard.
Yeah, I was lucky to get off a bit early. We stopped combining because it looked like rain, but it hasn't materialised.
It's hot though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, impressive. Nigel, are you practising to swim the channel or something?
Just a few more lengths.
Have a seat, Elizabeth. I'll call you a fruit juice.
Thanks. Oh. Is this cosy too awful?
No, it's fine. You look great.
I feel enormous. I can't get used to having this cleavage.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. Like you're enjoying Simon.
Well, it is wonderful.
Oh, I'm so pleased. It's about time you had a young man.
Or an old man, as Dad will be the first to point out.
Is he giving you a really hard time?
Well, he's made it very clear that he doesn't want Simon to see me here. So I'm not going to fight him on it.
Well, if you can go to Simon's place. Mm.
Precisely. Not as if we have to fumble about in the back of a car. So, Dad hasn't achieved anything. All he's done is drive both of us off the farm.
That was splendid.
Yes, you do have a very original crawl, Nigel.
But how did Edie and Meanie like this one?
Hang on, I'll just ask them. Yep, they thought it was great.
Oh, help yourself to a drink, Nigel.
Oh, thanks. Oh, do you realise, Izzy, 2 weeks tonight, it's Mummy's birthday dinner.
I thought Judy's birthday was next week.
It is, but we're chock-a-block with conferences.
And the wonderful Lewis has already booked her for the night itself.
Oh, I see. She'll be 75, won't she?
Yes. So we're doing the big dinner the week after.
Mum and Dad are coming, and Lewis, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Camilla rang today, Nigel. She and James have accepted. They'll have to stay over.
Excellent. So we're just waiting for the Goodmans to reply.
How's Julia Smocking coming along?
It's a farce. She presented me with two beautiful little rompers, pretending she'd done them.
They're quite obviously Underwood sale-bys with the labels cut out.
Oh, poor Julia. The perfect grandmother. It's rather sweet.
Yes, and rather at odds with the youthful image she's always sought to project to her friends. And you know, Lizzie, we could be in for an interesting dinner party.
So how come Edward gets left off the yard work?
Oh, William. You know he's wanted to see Star Wars since it come out. There you go.
I'd be more interested to know. His dad gets the easy job on top of the load. Coming up, Dad.
Oh, it's easy. I'm sweating cobs up here.
Well, you want to try this?
Hey, Rob. It ain't the easy job. It's the skilled job.
Rubbish. It's what Edward was going to do.
Yeah, and I should have had to supervise him. Don't want to leave half the load in the lane.
All right, all right. Can't you two do nothing with hope falling out? Oh, I think it's a lovely way to spend an evening.
Oh, yeah, much better than being in a nice, cool cinema. Coming up, Grandad?
I remember me and Rosie taking my daddy's flask out the fields during haymaking when I was a little girl. There'd be all the workers there, stripped to the waist.
Oi, oi.
They'd break off, come and sit in the shade. And me and Rosie, we'd make little dolls by bending back the petals of the poppies and tying them in the middle with a blade of grass. We made two arms, you see.
Yeah, those were the days, eh?
Us and Tony Archer, the only folk round here who've got poppies anymore.
Yeah, it's called progress, Dad.
Well, I ain't saying I want the old days back. It were blooming hard work then, like it's been tonight. Oh, but really, Eddie, even with all the worries we've got, I wouldn't swap my life.
Oh, you reckon we ought to stop doing the lottery, then?
Yeah, it's just a dream, innit? And if it come to it, would we really be happy living in a mansion and driving round in a sports car, eh?
Yeah.
You're not on strike, then, eh?
No, just having a breather.
Oh, I mean, look at that sky, all inky. The swifts hoovering at the insects.
There's rain in the air. We ought to get this lot in.
I know things are hard, but we live in a lovely part of the world, you know. And we had that beautiful little calf born today. Sometimes I don't think we make enough of what we got.
Yeah.
I know money's important.
Yeah, especially when you ain't got it.
But the main thing to me is my home and my family. As long as I've got them, I don't care about the rest.
You're not going to lose them, love.
That was a drop of rain. Yeah, what did I tell you? Hurry up!
Sorry, Clary. Back to work.
Never mind. Story of my life.
Peggy and Caroline are keeping their fingers crossed.
I can hardly believe it myself, Caroline, but it's happening, isn't it?
It's a pity he hasn't made more progress with his clear out. I'm sure he'd feel a lot better if he could bring himself to throw a few things away.
Oh, he's always been a bit of a hoarder.
I was helping him the other afternoon. And do you know what I found buried under a pile of ancient copies of Caterer and Hotel Keeper?
Uh-huh. The book I gave him one Christmas called Clear Your Life of Clutter.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid the principles of Feng Shui seem to have totally passed him by.
He's promised to have another go this afternoon. I think I'm going to make myself scarce.
Has he had any luck with finding a new head keeper yet? I didn't like to ask.
He's phoned this fellow Jim Goodrich he's so keen on. Jim asked for a few days to think it over.
Oh, at least he didn't say no.
I'm still cross with Brian for not being more accommodating. It wouldn't have hurt him to have left Greg Turner in charge.
Oh, considering other people's feelings isn't exactly Brian's strong suit.
I still can't believe he barged up here the other day and talked his way into Jack's office like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Willey. I did try to stop him.
Oh, I'm not blaming you, Caroline. But it shows you how much influence Jennifer has with him. None.
I'm sure she did her best.
He knows Jack hasn't been well and how much he needs to retire. Anyone else would have seen it from Jack's point of view. The trouble is, Brian hasn't got a better nature to appeal to. The way it's worked out, in fact, Jack and George should be retiring at about the same time.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, Jill.
Hello, Jill.
Have you come for your swim?
Yes. I'm glad it's warm in here. There's quite a chill since that rain last night.
Oh, it really chucked it down. Driving home through it was incredible. I saw the Grangers trying to get their hay in.
Oh. Well, all this swimming seems to be doing your knee good, Jill. You seem to be walking much more easily.
I don't know why I brought my stick. I promised myself I'd try to manage without it. I suppose I'd just like to know it's there.
It's no good trying to rush these things. I know how it was after Guy's accident. I'm sure you'll find that one day you simply don't need it.
I hope so. I must be sick of having to drive me everywhere.
I dare say he'd tell you if he was. Oh, have you heard anything from Shuley yet?
No, not since you rang to tell us they'd made it to the ferry. You haven't heard anything, have you, Caroline?
No, not a peep. The cats are very miffed they haven't had a postcard.
We are grateful to you for taking them on while she's away.
Oh, it's no problem. I wish you'd get in touch, though. I'm dying to hear what the eclipse was like in France.
Mm, and how Daniel's coping without his muzzy.
Sorry?
You know, his little comfort cloth he takes to bed with him. It was lost the day they left.
Oh, no. That's the sort of thing that could scar you for life.
Let's hope not. Well, I'd better hurry up and have my swim. Phil's coming back for me in an hour.
Are you busy this afternoon, Jill?
Not especially. Why?
I was wondering if I could ask myself round for a cup of tea.
That'd be lovely.
Jack's threatening to turn out the big filing cabinet. I'm not sure I feel strong enough for an afternoon marvelling at the programmes from the Borchester Chrysanthemum Society's annual show, dating from 1973.
It's 1971, actually. I've already had the pleasure.
Oh, go on, girl, in you go.
What have I got here, then? A few figures, eh?
Oh, so that's your secret weapon, boss.
He told her to give him a bit of encouragement. Come on, girl.
That's got it. Ah. Whew, that was hot work.
Yeah, they're never too keen on going in the crates.
Oh, I can't say I blame them. If I thought I'd got to spend 2 or 3 weeks penned in and give birth behind bars, I wouldn't be too happy either.
It's the only way. There's a lot less piglet crushing.
I know all that, and I know everyone uses them.
It's not as if they're in stalls the rest of the time like they used to be.
It just doesn't seem natural. This is when they should be nest building.
Well, if you carried that argument on, we'd leave all the calves on their mums till they were 6 months old.
That's different. That's the economics of milk production. But here...
Well, what are you suggesting?
I don't know. I don't know what the options are.
Well, if you ask me, we just have to help them make the best of it. Have you been talking to him like Mr. Archer told you to?
I haven't got the time.
A minute a day talking to him and fussing them before they farrow, that's all it takes. And they'll produce more live piglets.
Oh, yeah.
I read it in a magazine.
But all I said was I wasn't very keen on the farrowing crates. I don't want to turn into Dr. Doolittle.
You try it, you'll see.
Ruth!
In here!
Meant to ask you, when was it you sprayed the spuds?
Last Wednesday, I think. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, great. I can leave it then.
How's the wheat going?
Oh, it's still not quite fit. I know what'll happen. It'll be ready on Sunday when I want to play cricket.
Who's this wonder man Steve Harris? He keeps going on about the team.
Oh, well, we had hoped he'd be playing, but he's had to go back to Devizes to tie up a few loose ends on his house sale.
Who's a lovely old girl, then. He's got to go on coming to Ness, though.
Yeah. And he said he ought to be able to play in a couple of weeks.
You like that, don't you? Have you got the niche?
Is that vet chappy standing in for Alistair again?
Yeah. He's no Shane Warne, but he'll do.
You're just an old dafty, aren't you?
Ruth, what are you doing?
Yeah, but there could be something in this.
Oh, no, not you as well. All my life I've had to put up with a father who's dotty over pigs. Now my wife's going the same way.
It never ceases to amaze me how gossip goes round.
You know what Doris used to say?
A rumour could be halfway round this village before truth had got its boots on. There you are, Peggy.
Oh, thanks. Anyway, I popped into the shop for some stamps and poor Betty took me on one side and asked me if her job was safe.
Oh, dear. I bet Susan's been worried too.
Then she started fretting about Brenda and this journalist traineeship at the Echo. I told her all Jack's giving up is his involvement with Grey Gables. She was so relieved.
She must have been.
Anyway, it's a relief to me to be away from Grey Gables for a bit.
I'm sorry there isn't anything more comfy for you to sit on. How Ruth and David manage on these plastic chairs, I'll never know.
Oh, I suppose they're more practical with children.
And asking you to sit here and look at that vegetable patch.
I thought Bert had been giving Ruth a hand.
He's been too busy on the farm, and Phil's had enough to do keeping mine at Brookfield under control. So it's looking rather untidy, I'm afraid.
Well, it's not for much longer, Jill.
Here, try one of these. Sorry they're a bit crispy round the edges.
Oh, they look fine.
Only Ruth's oven's driving me demented.
Mrs. Archer?
Round the back, Bert. Oh, dear. Watch your teeth, Peggy.
I'm sorry to bother you, honey. Oh, hello, Mrs. Woolley.
Afternoon, Bert.
Funny, I'm after an agenda for the PCC meeting. My Frieda's gone and written her shopping list all over mine. Said she thought it was scrap paper.
I'm sure I have a spare. You got time for a cup of tea?
Oh, well, that's very tempting.
Go on. There's an extra cup. I thought Phil might join us.
Oh, well, ta very much. Ah, them biscuits look good.
Mm, they are. Try one.
But watch your teeth. Pull up a chair, Bert.
Thank you.
Well, I hear you sold plenty of tickets for the bell-ringing picnic.
Oh, I've been pleasantly surprised, yes. Are you coming?
Well, I may not choose to worship at St. Stephen's, Bert, but I haven't withdrawn my support from village events involving the church. I helped at the fete, after all.
We were very glad to have you.
Yeah, sometimes I think you've made the right decision, Mrs. Woolley. You've heard about these new hymn books the vicar's wished on us?
That's hardly true. Janet did a lot of consultation.
She says it won't mean no guitars in church and fancy clapping. But I'm not so sure.
Well, I don't think I should comment. Anyway, I'm supporting the bell-ringing picnic out of respect for Uncle Tom and Prue. One of the bells is being named in their honour.
Ah, there's going to be an inscription on it.
In memory of Tom Forrest, bell-ringer and tower captain, and his devoted wife Prue. That's it, isn't it, Bert?
Yeah, something like that, yes. Ah. Oh, dear. Look at that vegetable patch.
I'd rather you didn't. I haven't really kept on top of it, I'm afraid.
Oh, when I think of the work me and Ruth put in the spring. It's not as bad as it looks. There's quite a bit of stuff here.
No. Phil and I have been doing our best to eat the beans, but there are some huge ones.
It's thick with chickweed, though. You should have said.
Thought you'd be too busy, what with the harvest in your own garden.
There's a nice crop of veg there, if you look for it. It'll be the flower and produce show soon, won't it?
Oh, don't. I've hardly got over the fete.
Is it just me, or do these things seem to come round more quickly each year?
I'll see if I can spare a couple of hours next week. Ruth might want to enter something. Right, that was very nice, Mrs. Archer, but I'd better be getting on.
Oh, I'll get you that agenda. I think they're in the kitchen.
Jill, you're...
Oh, my steak.
Do you want it?
No. No, thank you, Peggy. I seem to be doing fine without it.
Jill, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well done, Mum.
And I can walk all the way back, too.
I haven't had such a lump in my throat since Josh took his first step.
You're a star.
It's a wonderful feeling. I'm terrified of falling, of course.
Oh, that's understandable.
And I wouldn't be very happy on a slippery surface, but, well, it's a start.
You've done brilliantly.
I must get back and show your father. He must have finished checking the sheet by now.
Do you want me to walk back with you?
No, thank you. I've been dependent on other people for long enough. I'm enjoying my newfound freedom.
Be careful of those roots, then.
I will. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mum. Well, that's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Best news I've had all week.
Oh, well, if you're in that good a mood.
You're so subtle. Do you want a beer?
No, thanks. It's about the pigs.
Oh, yeah. What, you want to get them pipe music? Conversational Spanish tapes?
The farrowing crates. Are they really necessary?
What?
Well, there must be an alternative. What about those hinge crates I've read about?
Stop right there, will you? Because my good mood is vanishing fast. Ruth, we have just spent 10 grand getting rid of the sow stalls. We've lost £50,000 on those pigs over the past 18 months. It's just throwing good money after bad.
Prices have started to pick up a bit.
Yeah, but for how long? We're producing too much pork. The whole world's producing too much pork. And other countries' costs aren't as high as ours, honestly.
So no change at Hollowtree, then?
Do you really need to ask?
Oh, well, maybe one lot of change will be enough to contend with.
No, sorry, you've lost me there.
You heard what your mum said. Now she's thrown her stick away, she's going to want to move back.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We don't really want to go back, do we?
Well, I don't. It's been great being at the centre of things while we've been so busy. The kids love all the space.
But we're living on borrowed time.
Mm. Well, maybe the thing to do is to sort of get in there first. Talk to them about it, you know? Before Mum starts trying to set a date to move back.
When are we going to find the time for all this talking? It's not the kind of thing we can sort out in half an hour.
No, I know, love. But, I mean, we're both agreed, aren't we? In an ideal world, we'd persuade Mum and Dad to do a permanent swap.
Oh, I'd love it. But can you really see your mum agreeing?